Well, good morning. I'm Brenda Matthews. I'm filling in for Steve Day today, and it's time for Ask the Mayor with our own Mayor of Highlands, Patrick Taylor. Hello. How are you?
Good to be with you, Brenda. And, you know, one of the things I love doing from time to time is having a guest on the program, especially when it's very important that we get out information to the community about an upcoming event. And today I've asked Robin Tindall, the Executive Director of the Highlands Cashiers Health Foundation, to come and share with our audience about a very important program that will be taking place next week concerning mental health and mental health awareness. So I want to just turn it over to you and Robin, and let's get the information out about how we can support this important initiative.
So Robin, we have something special on Wednesday.
Yes, we do. It is called Secret Warrior, a community mental wellness event at the PAC, and it's going to be September 21st at 5:30.
And you have a very special guest speaking that day.
Yes, we do. She goes by Coach P. Mm-hmm. Her name is Joanne P. McCallie. She is now a mental health advocate and a Division I Hall of Fame basketball coach. In 2020, she turned from coach to being a mental health advocate. At a time when so many of us of all ages are experiencing some type of mental health concern, we are especially excited that the coach has made this decision. She provides a powerful, extraordinary story of her experience since she was diagnosed with bipolar at age 30.
So she's going to discuss her process.
Well, she actually discusses her life experiences, triumphs, victories, as well as challenges.
Great.
And she addresses it from the viewpoint of how we can all relate to mental wellness and how important it is to address and understand, particularly the stigmas to overcome when you think of mental wellness issues.
Right. So important in our lives because, as we were talking earlier, people get injured and they go to the doctor. There's
Absolutely.
No stigma in that.
Yes. After all, when you break an arm or you're diagnosed with heart disease or cancer, you don't delay treatment. Mm-hmm. But when you're faced with mental wellness issues, it's something that many of us delay. And sometimes we don't understand that there's prevention. There are symptoms, there's treatment and recovery when it comes to mental wellness.
It's the entire process, like having an injury or having another need. Do you have some statistics for us as well?
Well, we're definitely on an early learning curve as a foundation, but we're very committed to building awareness of this important concern for everyone. Some of the statistics I've become aware of is that actually 50% of all adults will meet the criteria for a diagnosable mental health condition at some point in their life. And even more interesting is that half of those will develop a condition by age 14.
By 14?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in the nation, 31.6% of adults report symptoms of anxiety or depressive disorder. Mm-hmm. And in North Carolina, it's a little bit higher at 35%. And I think one of the most troubling statistics is our youth. According to a Surgeon General's report of 80,000 youngsters, they found that depressive and anxiety complaints doubled since the COVID epidemic.
It's been so tough for the kids to be out of school or trying to do the home learning.
Absolutely. A lot of it has to do with isolation and not being able to interact with peers.
Sure.
And it brings to mind a story that I recently heard about an adolescent who was in and out of trouble and ended up in the detention center. And he was referred to a therapy program, and he stuck with it. And it also involved peer-to-peer interaction. Mm-hmm. I understood this was a quote from him. "The best thing I learned was you're not alone as you think you are, and there's always people willing to help and comfort you. I think that's the essence of where mental wellness can be so impactful. If we all lifted the barriers of the stigma and understood that getting help can really make a difference.
And that's what Wednesday's seminar is really all about. Can you reiterate? It's at the PAC, Wednesday the 21st.
Yes, Wednesday, September 21st, 5:30 p.m. I can tell you that Coach P, I've talked to her. She is dynamic. She is powerful. This is not going to be a boring from the podium kind of a speech. It's going to be very energetic.
I bet it would be. Can you just show up at the PAC at 5:30? Are there tickets?
Actually, we hope you will go to our website, hchealthfnd.org. Tickets are free of charge, but we prefer reservations, so sign up online and show up at 5:30.
There you go. You want to make sure you have seats for everybody that wants to go.
Yes, mm-hmm. We have 298 seats to fill, and there are plenty left.
Great. Thank you so much. This is exciting. 5:30, Wednesday the 21st at the PAC. Secret Warrior, it's called. Robin, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for this opportunity.
You're welcome.
Let me give out a shout out to the Highlands Cashiers Health Foundation. That's a wonderful organization, and it makes such an impact on the health and wellness of our community. So I hope everyone will take advantage of this wonderful program that will be taking place on the 21st at 5:30. And again, go to the website. But I really hope that we'll have a great turnout, because this is a very important topic to cover.
The Highlands Cashiers Health Foundation did such great work during COVID too.
They sure did.
So let's talk about the big meeting on Thursday. There's a lot to cover about Thursday's meeting, I know.
There was a lot to cover. It went for about an hour and a half. And really the big issue that we addressed toward the end of the meeting was, of course, the amendments to the short-term rental issue that we've been now working on for at least a year. And what the board decided at this meeting and approved, we amended our ordinances on short-term rentals to where, as of September 15th, and that was on Thursday after we passed this, there will be no more development of short-term rentals in R1 and R2. We have put a stop to further development of short-term rentals in those two zones. With that said, if someone has been operating a short-term rental before September 15th in those zones, they can continue to do so at this time. The amendments have some regulations and rules in it concerning trash, parking, and so forth. But one of the things that people were asking about the amortization provision that we'd been looking at. We would allow the continuation of operations of short-term rentals in R1 and R2 for a designated period. One period had been proposed for the next 3 years, and then after that period had ended, all of those operations would have to stop. Our attorneys advised us not to consider that at this time, to go ahead and pass the ordinance stopping the spread of short-term rentals, but to delay any decision on this issue of amortization. They want to study it further. There's some factors that are afoot that they think we need to consider before making a final decision. But it will be revisited and reviewed at a later date in the near term and make a decision on amortization. All just wanted to be clear about that.
So one step at a time.
Yeah. I know that there might be a lot of questions that people want to ask. I would refer everyone, if you have a question about it, to our town hall reference staff, and that would be our zoning administrator and assistant administrator. That would be Josh Ward and Michael Mathis. They are charged with the specific implementation and application of the ordinance. And you can always call them at 828-526-2118. That's our town hall number, and they'll be happy to respond to any questions.
Oh, very good. I'm sure there will be a few.
I would think so.
Yeah. So let's talk about the other ordinance amendments that were passed. Camping on town property, leaving cars overnight, etc.
That's right. Officer Leah McCall, who's our code enforcement officer, came and made a presentation about these issues. We currently have restrictions on camping and leaving cars parked overnight. Our police department, at my urging, did a review of those ordinances and felt like we need to have more specifics about them. And we changed the ordinances or strengthened the ordinances to where it's very clear now that no one can camp on town property. Kelsey Hutchinson, Founders Park. You cannot go set up a pop tent and sleep there overnight and wash your dishes in the fountain and so forth. These are the things that we want to address in that.
Right.
Parking overnight downtown, mm-hmm. there are provisions in the ordinance. It doesn't apply to motel guests or hotel guests or certain situations. We're not going to require that people remove their cars. But we have had problems of people coming and actually parking their cars for day after day, night after night in our town parking spaces. And we need to have a mechanism to where when we see that happening, the police can contact those people by way of running the tag number and tell them it's time to move your car.
Right.
It can't stay there indefinitely. I've noticed this, for example, over by the conference center. I've observed sometimes that people might be going out of town or working somewhere, and they'll just park their car in one of our parking spaces, and it'll be there for day after day, or even downtown that happens. And the spirit of our parking ordinances is that we want people to park, but we want them to also move so other people can be parking.
That's right.
Have a flow of people coming and going. And that's the spirit of addressing the overnight parking.
Oh, absolutely. It only makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a big joint meeting coming up with the chamber soon, too, right?
That's right. Our boards, both boards, the chamber board and the town board, we've been wanting to get together and talk about some common issues and some opportunities for the future for the town. And that's the spirit of our meeting. We're going to have a joint meeting with Chamber of Commerce Board, and that's going to be on Tuesday, the 20th, at 11 o'clock at the Highlands Recreation Department. The public, of course, is invited because it will be an official meeting of the town board. But we all look forward to being able to sit down and address some of the common opportunities that we find that we can work together on.
You have a community coffee, Hudson Library, next week as well.
I think
you're
it's a real
guy.
It is a special community coffee.
Uh-huh.
I'll have two special guests, and that will be State Senator Kevin Corbin and Representative Carl Gillespie. And they both represent the Plateau. And I've invited them to come and meet with the folks at the coffee and talk about the upcoming legislative session, which will start at the beginning of this next year, and kind of outline for us and talk about some of the priorities, some of the budget issues and so forth. And it will also be a great time for people to just ask their representative questions about what's going on in Raleigh. So I think it's just going to be a great event, and I hope everybody will turn out to meet the two representatives for this Plateau area.
And that Friday, 11?
11 a.m. at the Hudson Library. It's a series of coffees that I have every year, mm-hmm. monthly. We're getting toward the end of the year. We usually stop the coffees around October, but our representatives were able to make time, and this is a great opportunity to have this meeting before they go back to Raleigh and start becoming involved in budget decisions and making laws and so forth.
Yeah, and representing us.
Mm-hmm.
There was word of electric car charging stations here in the Highlands?
The Chamber of Commerce has been talking with us about the possibility of creating some electric car charging stations, mm-hmm. in the downtown area. Public Works Director Lamar Nix looked at some potential sites where the electricity would be available and could be provided. We're still studying that. And in the meantime, I've asked the Public Works Committee to look at some basic questions and policy issues related to how we would implement electric charging stations. Mm-hmm. There are a number of questions that we need to answer and resolve before we make a final commitment to setting these stations up.
It is, because we are headed that way. Now, the board also allocated monies toward building a new sidewalk.
Yes, they did. And let me give you some background, Brenda, on this, because it's interesting. You know, we put this information out before meeting and everything, and I get a lot of feedback very quickly about certain things, like building the sidewalk. What has happened is that we have several potential private donors who have expressed an interest in contributing to the construction of a sidewalk, which would originate somewhere around the Highlands Country Club and come all the way into Main Street, tie into the sidewalk that's already there around the shopping center area. Mm-hmm. As a board, and also even with the master transportation plan from Macon County, the idea of building sidewalks on our corridor highways coming into the town is a part of those plans and ideas. Because we have an interest with private donations, we think that if possible, we could speed up the process with DOT, which is in charge of that road, and the town board could be involved possibly in the construction of the sidewalk.
Very good.
The big unknown, though, is how would this be done? And I will just say this. We're putting in some sidewalks right now, like going down First Street. They're real simple. Mm-hmm. Nice flat, well, not flat, but, you know, level ground mm-hmm. that we can put in the forms and pour the concrete, and it's not that complicated. But on this particular road, just like the Franklin Road, you have curves, you have drop-offs where there's nothing there to build on.
Right.
And then there are issues about we have a creek that runs right along the side of the road. Mm-hmm. How do you address the environmental impact? There are just a lot of unknown questions that need to be answered. So the board allocated $15,000 for a professional engineering company to come in and come up with a conceptual design mm-hmm. for how this would be done. After that, if we want to continue this process, there's a survey analysis, a lot of different steps. It would total, after it's all said and done, about $175,000. Somebody saw what we sent out and said, oh, you can build the sidewalk for $175,000. And I said, no, that is just getting us to a point where we could put it out for bid
right.
before you do construction.
Yeah.
And it also would be the design specifications that we would have to meet with the state DOT, because anything we put on their road, they have to say it meets their standard and they approve it. So this is not a simple process, but we're going to take that first step by having the professional engineer show us just a concept of how this would be done, and then we'll go from there. I don't know if it'll get done using this model of public and private partnership or what, but we're taking steps to address that. And also, I think it's a good exercise in understanding if we wanted to go out the Franklin Road with the sidewalk, we'd experience the same kind of issues. So we get a kind of a feel for how much it would cost and what we have to do. Same thing with North Carolina 28 on the Ball Hollow Road. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think, a good investment in kind of getting our ideas together about what it would take to make these sidewalks a reality.
Right.
And also, I asked the board to review the master sidewalk plan that we have in town. Probably the Public Works Committee will start doing that, because there are other places where I'd like to see a sidewalk. I've mentioned this before, going up Chestnut and then connecting over to 6th Street and tying back into Horse Cove Road. Mm-hmm. That would be a sidewalk loop that would help people walk around that part of town. We're doing that right now with the construction of a sidewalk partially on Oak and on 1st Street, and that will be another loop where we can become more pedestrian friendly. I know people sometimes get impatient that we don't do these immediately, but it takes a lot of planning and permits and so forth and financing before a lot of these projects become a reality.
I mean, with our geography here, too, it does have a tendency to complicate things.
You better believe it, Brent. And, you know, I always say this, my good friend, Commissioner Ronnie Beal, and the county is always outspoken about this. When the state allocates $1 million for a road to be built in the mountains of Western Carolina versus the flatlands on the East Coast, it's not the equivalent because you have to deal with the terrain, the rock, and everything. So it doesn't get you a lot of road for that kind of a price. So that applies to our sidewalk projects also.
It is. It's not a one-size-fit-all.
Let me say, I want to congratulate the Performing Arts Center for their opening.
Yes.
I will have attended the Bravo Amici concert, their first concert in their new facility. And then also this afternoon, which is Sunday at 2 o'clock, I will be there for their official ribbon cutting. And then there will be a grand tour of the facility. So I hope people can join in the celebration of the opening of this marvelous fine arts facility that we will enjoy for years to come.
That's it. We've been watching it in person. We've been watching it online with that live stream, and such a busy week ahead. Well, Mayor Patrick Taylor, thank you for joining us again today.
Glad to be with you, Brenda.
Yeah. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.